When I hear this music, I just can't get the image of that woman spitting up blood in her bed right before she died from the flu.
Oh, that's what you think of?
Oh,
yes.
I think so many other beautiful scenes. Come on.
I think of the lovely scenery, the drama.
So many wonderful Christmases and weddings, and he keeps on harping on a couple of deaths. It was in the 20s, and it was the teens.
Yeah.
So the series started in the 1919s.
Right.
World War I was happening.
Right. It was the Spanish flu outbreak of 1918. Okay, fine. Man. But still, it was bad. I mean, I barely got over that episode because all I could think about the entire time was, oh, my God, I'm going to get the flu.
Oh my gosh.
Richard Roper is here.
Hello.
And his reviews are being sponsored by Archideck of Chicagoland.
So here we have it, the Downton Abbey movie. Mm. Now, of course, as people know, the globally popular. That was one of those shows that was like the number one places you didn't know they had public television.
Mm-hmm.
They loved the show in Turkey.
Interesting.
All over the world, they love the Downton Abbey. People just love it. It's just such a beautiful thing. Upstairs, downstairs, soap opera plots.
What's not
beautiful
to love?
People to look at.
You know, and something you could watch with your kids and not have to, like, you know, anybody could watch that. Grandmas and kids. Right, multi-generational.
And if you call right now, you can get this beautiful Downton Abbey tote bag and the entire series run on DVD and VHS for those of you who haven't changed with the times. Okay. So. the movie, like Anna was mentioning earlier, it did come as kind of a surprise because it's not like a lot of shows like The Sopranos where you're like, oh, God, I wish they could have picked that up with a movie when we still had, James Gandolfini or even Breaking Bad, which we're going to get a sequel a little bit later this year, because this one just ended with a lot of happy endings and off they went into the British sunset,
All right.
But, I think because it was so popular and so Julian Fellowes, who, the creator and the writer and et cetera, the showrunner.
I'm Julian Fellowes.
That's exactly
who you think would be behind.
So you got everybody, pretty much everybody who hadn't been killed off in the series is back for the movie, and people are asking me like, well, is it one of those things where I have to have watched every episode of the TV show? Well, if you did, you're gonna enjoy it a lot more, of course. And it takes place only about 18 months after the events of the series finale. But even if you've never seen it, you can kind of pick up what's happening because the characters are so well developed and well drawn. You know who the servants are. You know who the upstairs people are. And the main plot here is that, Downton Abbey, they're always trying to figure out how they're going to finance the future. Are they going to get another inheritance? It's a whole thing to keep the whole thing running. Mm-hmm. And now the king and queen themselves are coming to visit.
So stakes are high.
They've got it. Everything must sparkle. Exactly.
What year does this pick up?
1927.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So the king and queen are coming for a visit at Downton Abbey's in a tizzy. Now, for those who did watch the show.
Now, the show only took you up to 1927?
It took 1925. It started, I think, in about 1917.
Anybody else
like
drop
that.
Dead of consumption or anything?
Everybody's good. People will remember that Carson, he was the head butler with a real lady. Mm-hmm. At the end of the series, he had retired. It looked like he might be starting to get some Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. And he was just older. So he's living on the grounds, though, because, they all have all these little cottages and everything for the servants. So he's living in retirement. And Mr. Barrow is now the head butler. Now, Mr. Barrow had been a villain in many cases throughout the series run, but he kind of had redemption.
Okay.
But now, our Lady Mary Crawley is worried that Barrow's not up to the task of handling the royals, so she pays a visit to her beloved Carson.
Carson.
My lady, please come in. This is an honor.
I don't want to be a nuisance, but I need your help, Carson. Barrow just isn't up to the task.
My lady?
He won't clean the silver, or he won't let Andrew clean it.
What?
He says the page of the thingamy will choose which pieces to use.
I see.
The truth is, he's in a sort of trance. Won't you help me? I feel I'm pushing a rock uphill.
I'll be there in the morning, my lady. Don't you worry.
You're a treasure, Carson. That's all there is to say. I'll see myself out.
May I just ask you?
I just want once in my life for someone to say, you're a treasure, Richard. That's all there is to say.
I want to use, I'll see myself out.
See myself out.
Because you just, it's like a mic drop back in, England in 1925.
That little bell, ding, ding, ding.
I'll see myself out.
I would just like to say that this show reeks of white privilege.
Yes, well, I think the working title was White Privilege, and then they decided to go with Downton Abbey. Yes, that's exactly what it's about.
Oh, my God.
So here's the deal with that. That's exactly what you're going to get there. All the familiar characters. First of all, It looks amazing on the big screen because the cinematography, yes, that was always beautiful. The real high clear castle, which to this day, you know, people can take tours of it, that Downton Abbey was filmed at. You know, to see it on the big screen and see all these wonderful actors, including, of course, Maggie Smith, Elizabeth McGovern.
She's still alive and she's in this.
The Dowager Countess is still, still walk with that cane and still just jabbing everybody with her wit.
All right.
So was the movie necessary? No.
Oh.
Is it a treat? Yes, because it's just it's like going to a reunion, except for most reunions you go to, you don't want to see half the people. Here you want to see everyone. So I'm giving it a very comforting 3 stars.
Interesting.
Not, you know, there's not, in fact, it doesn't have a lot of, you know, they went in dark places in the series, as Ro mentioned. I mean, there was, you know, there were, the people went off to war and didn't come back. There were, you know, terrible injuries and betrayals and deaths. This is a little lighter than that. It's more just like checking in on the characters and seeing how they're doing and seeing how their future's going to be laid out. So it's lovely. I think it's going to do really well. It's a box office that doesn't get attended to too much. It's the same audience that's watching Netflix series and Hulu series and Amazon series, and it's women who are 40 plus. And usually, yeah, when there's a film that's driven by that, Hollywood's always shocked to find out that there's an audience for that. Well, yeah, there is. Make movies for them.
So this would have been George V is coming over.
Sure.
Along with Mary of Teck.
Yes, George and Mary.
Right. She's not of state. She's of Teck.
Yeah.
If you're a big fan of the Dr. Pepper.
Well, and you know, that's the thing. If all that kind of stuff, it's just fun to see it. You know, you'll learn about the footman and the royal butler. That's what happens. The royal staff comes there, and then they're at odds with the servants at Downton, who are basically told, step aside. We're going to do all the cooking. We're going to do all the preparations. That's why Mr. Barrow wasn't polishing that silver, so to speak.
Ooh. Richard, does this wrap it up for good, or does it leave the door open for anything else?
Oh, it absolutely leaves the door, all the doors, including the servants' doors, open, definitely.
Okay,
I was thinking it would really be fun. I'd love to see them. They could pick it up in, like, World War II, in the 40s, like 20 years later, 15 years later. So all the kids who are children here would be in their 20s and 30s, and the younger people would be the older people at Downton Abbey. But then think about a World War II backdrop for Downton Abbey and how that would have affected them.
Landing B-17s in the backyard.
Possibly. It's a big yard. It's 5,000 square miles or something. It's a ridiculous amount. I don't
know. And then they could do the great-great-grandkids. They could move up to that to modern day times when they're renting it out on Airbnb.
There you go.
You know?
Yes. Which they are.
Hey, look, Kanye and Kim are coming over.
That would be
amazing.
They're
doing their wedding here. They're renewing their vows. It's really cool. They might make a reality show.
That would be actually fantastic. Oh, the wealth in Downton Abbey, I mean, that was always the fun. The Dowager Countess, she had the famous line early on in the series where she said, what is a weekend? Because, of course, she never heard of the concept
of a week
of having 2 days off. Just, what is a weekend?
Right, exactly.
That was on T-shirts and little, and you can get those if you call right now during this latest pledge drive.
I mean, phenomenally successful. The actresses were saying that it was a hit from moment one in England, and they weren't surprised by that. The next day, literally, they got the ratings. But that globally, they were so shocked.
That's the amazing thing, Anna. Like it just had, you know, and there are making of documentaries and stuff, and the attention to detail, including, like, you know, how many inches the knife is from the spoon and everything, was all meticulously researched,
right,
and they brought in experts. So everything that's being worn, every painting that's on the wall, all of that
true to the time.
And a terrific cast. You know, in fact, a lot of those actors, well, they've been doing things for a long time. For, like, you know, Hugh Bonneville, who's the Lord Grantham, who's got the dog that's always walking around with him. If you go back and watch Notting Hill, he's the doofus that asks Julia Roberts, what do you do for a living?
Oh, right.
She's a movie star. Is there any money in that? And she goes, Mom, my last movie.
The brother-in-law.
Yeah.
He was the brother-in-law.
And he goes, oh, acting.
Oh,
tough,
I loved him.
Tough job. What did you get for your last film? Goes, well, $15 million. Yeah. He's been around for a long time. And Lily James, she's the only one that from the cast that's really not in this one because she's too busy doing movies. She was in Baby Driver and all this other stuff. But Maggie Smith and her cane, she's still there.
I mean, it is a beautiful thing. It is real.
Music's beautiful.
It's escapism.
100%.
That's true.
Yeah.
Very true.
At the screening I went to, some women wore hats like you do when you watch the Kentucky Derby. They wore the big hats.
That's against the rules in a movie theater, isn't it?
You know, my feeling is the same thing as when you see people wearing hats to a Kentucky Derby viewing party in Chicago. Unless you're there, leave the hats at home.
No tea served.
At
any point did you snatch the hat off their head?
The hats were there was an announcement asking the ladies at the hats to take the hats off so that the four rows behind them could see the actual movie screen.
Well, that's not right.
Downton Abbey, the movie. There you go.
Grandma, you can't wear a hat.
Well,
All right. We're going to find out if this Ad Astra movie.
Brad Pitt.
I swear to God, when I was hearing like the commercial, when I didn't see the commercial.
Yeah.
And you could hear it like, you know, TV's on, you're not looking.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Pitt, Ad Astra. And I thought, why is Brad Pitt and Ed Asner, and why are they in a film together?
That would be a good movie.
Yeah.
Up to.
But we're going to find out. Okay. Some people, there are, like, the commercial claims that the reviewers say it's the finest movie ever made.
Let's see if that's true.
Who are these people?
We're going to find out from Richard Roper if that is in fact the case, coming up in just a moment here. But Brad Pitt and Tommy Lee Jones, I don't know how you go too terribly bad here. But first, let's check in now with Kim. What's coming up in the news at the bottom of the hour?
A deal has been reached between the city and police supervisors. We'll bring you the details coming up.
Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. See Chicago 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
Bro Concho with Anna DeBlancis right here on 720 WGN. Richard Roper is in the studio with us, and he's got a review. He said he already gave 3 stars to Downton Abbey because it's comforting.
Yes.
Yes.
Comfort food.
Yep. Yes.
It's comfortable. It's, if you love the series, you'll love the movie, right?
Just like those little cookies Carson would bring to you after your meal.
Yeah.
Some tea.
Tea and crumpets.
Downton Abbey. Exactly. Mm-hmm. There you go.
All right.
Now, for something completely different, from Downton Abbey in the early 20th century to Ad Astra, somewhere in the near future where we've colonized the moon and Mars and are now going to Neptune and Jupiter and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Ad Astra. Everybody keeps asking me about Ed Astra or Ed Asner. And it,
no,
you know,
not
it,
the
it's
same.
It's a movie like this, it's almost asking for people to stay away because that title is it's a Latin phrase, okay? It's from Per aspera ad astra, through hardship to the stars. Why not just say to the stars? How about that?
That would work.
Or trouble on Neptune. Because that's the deal here. Really... So Brad Pitt is a veteran space explorer, you know, astronaut. His father, played by Tommy Lee Jones, is like the number one hero in the history of the American space program, according to this film, which is set maybe a couple hundred years in the future. He actually was the first one to get to Neptune, to get to Jupiter. Obviously, they go faster in the future than they can now. And he was convinced there was intelligent life somewhere beyond Neptune and led a team there some 37 years ago and then has never been heard from since. And the belief is that he was killed somehow. And he's an American hero. Statues and monuments and everything. Now, the planet Earth is getting hit with these crazy electrical charges that could destroy the planet, and they have reason to believe that Tommy Lee Jones, who's Brad Pitt's dad in the movie, is the guy responsible for it. That he went full Colonel Kurtz, went up the river, has lost his mind, has become the enemy. So now they send Brad Pitt's character on this journey to see if he can locate his father. So it's very Apocalypse Now. It's also very 2001 A Space Odyssey, and like there's like 15-minute sections where there's no dialogue. And you want to talk about a beautiful, beautiful movie to look at, but it's very deliberate and, you know, in some ways obtuse. And then all of a sudden you'll get like, I've never seen this. They actually have a shootout on the moon because there's some bad dudes that are living there as well.
With, like,
I've never
space
seen
guns?
Like, they got space guns, and they make really cool space noises, but there's, like, and they got, like, dune buggies, so you get a little Fast and Furious moment there for a second. The space, shootout.
This is the first car chase on the moon?
I believe so. Although I think Buzz Aldrin a couple of times just hit Neil Armstrong's ball into the rough. Neil, that's a bogey for you. I love the film, but I could see people walking out because it's, you know, it's got Brad Pitt does that kind of almost, you know, robotic type narration.
Yeah.
And it's a lot about the fact that he feels abandoned by his father, not just when his father went missing some 30 years ago, but that his father was never around for him and that he has become his father. His, you know, his girlfriend has just left him. Every astronaut who's ever gone up in space ever, there's a moment where you get to see the video of them with the wife and their little boy on the beach. But they've left by then. They're always on the beach.
Right.
That's always the scene to show the one moment when everything was great.
The wife left behind role.
Yeah.
Is always
exactly
part of
and
it.
In this case, it's because he was closed off. I'm giving 3.5 stars to Ad Astra, but with the caveat, if you're expecting to see Ocean's 14 or Once Upon a Time in Neptune, you know, with Brad Pitt, it's a completely different film. He's great in it. He's always good.
Right.
But it's one of those kind of roles that you would have seen, like, you know, very stoic. You know, Gary Cooper would have played 50 years ago. It's not a big emotional role except for a couple of scenes. And he looks great. You know, he can wear a space suit like nobody's business. Let's admit it.
It's his space movie.
And Tommy Lee Jones, come on, right? I mean, there you go.
Yeah.
So 3.5 stars.
Yeah, Ad Astra.
So with all of the accolades that the commercial is letting us know about.
Yeah.
Is this an Oscar contender?
I don't think so. Although I could see for, you know, visual effects, you know, sound mixing, if you will, the technical awards like
those
that.
Things, yeah.
Absolutely. You know, the achievement in visual effects for sure, maybe
so
cinematography.
If you're like a geek like I am, and I'll watch 2001 A Space Odyssey every once in a while, just to go back to my childhood and watch it and get, and because it is stunning when you watch it, if you have the patience.
Absolutely.
for it
has scenes like that too, because people forget, like 2001, there are some scenes like where they're kind of at the space station, like they're you know, as is almost always the case in these futuristic movies, all of this is commercialized. You know, the flights to the moon, it's not being funded by the United States government. It's a private company.
Well, as it was in 2001.
As it was in 2001.
Pan Am.
Exactly.
They did not see Pan Am closing.
So it's kind of interesting to see. And then there's a colony on Mars, you know, but it's still in keeping with the fact that they're beneath ground on Mars. You know, there's about 1,500 people, including some people who were born there, have never, because Earth is always on its last leg, so to speak. So they're trying to figure out where we can colonize. Now they're starting to think, you know, Neptune could be the new Mars. You know, sort of like Roscoe Village becomes the new, you know,
new hip place to live, right?
Yeah. They keep widening the. Is that really Neptune or Neptune adjacent?
This is really Logan Square.
Yeah.
The realtors tell you that anyway. Yeah.
I just found out Wrigleyville starts at Division Street, according to some people now. Oh, it's Lakeview. See, if you go on the roof and bend over, you can see the lake. There's your view. But it's a beautiful film, like just like Downton Abbey. But I mean, talk about, you know, completely different territory. You couldn't have two different movies. But Ad Astra. Worst title of the year, but one of the better movies.
All right, okay. So you like it, but you got to know what you're walking into. Here.
Yes, I could see some people about halfway through saying nothing's happening, because nothing's happening in terms of like fast paced superhero movies. No, nothing, but a lot's happening. It's just a lot more under the surface.
Well, that's like 2001. Actually, nothing happens in 2001. There's no narrative. That's the one thing that when you are done with the movie, you go, "What just happened?"
Well, there were some pretty good fights right at the beginning with those apes, caveman, the bone.
That there was that, but you got to kind of get through that. I don't like that part as much. And then you've got the most stunning visual scene at the end.
Amazing to this day, it'll give you MDMA Molly headache if you watch yourself.
But it is. So do you get a little kind of like that something? Is there?
Yes.
Okay.
I would say yes. You get answers in this. It's not like it leaves it open ended. Is his dad really alive? Is he the enemy? Is he not? The issues are resolved. It's a self-contained film.
Right.
And very quickly, I want to mention Rambo Last Blood is opening tomorrow, and they're not screening it for critics. So in the interest of this fine audience, I bought a ticket like a human being does, and I'm going to see it tonight so I can tell you guys about it tomorrow. You can't keep me away just because you're not going to screen it for me.
Isn't that usually a bad sign?
Never a good sign.
Never a good sign. That's what I would think.
Missing, you know, they send you a photo. Ooh, first look, the trailer for Last Blood. Ooh, Sylvester Stallone out rollerblading with his old friend Dolph Lundgren. And then I'm like, hey, how about the movie? Oh, we won't be screening that one, unfortunately. So off I go to the theater.
All right. Okay.
How do you do that? Do you, like, hand them a ticket? Do you print it out? Do you show them?
Oh, look at you. Look at you. He's got all the hacks. You know, like, I've got the hacks at all the stadiums here. There's every theater that he goes to. He knows the bartender.
Sure. That's my job. It's like, it's your job. It's like when you go to the Hawks game with Roe. Yeah.
Right. We go through a secret door. We don't know, but suddenly there's a bar there. It's the same kind of thing.
Went to the Hawks game last night. I want to see the new scoreboard. Not finished yet.
It looks like it's the size of the ship in Ad Astra.
It goes from blue line to blue line.
Jeez.
It's ginormous, but all of the capabilities are not functioning at this moment. They're waiting for the opening night for that. It's up. It's, you know.
Did they finish the part where they're hanging it from very strong cables? Is that part finished?
Okay. Well, it turns out it's like a tetrahedral foil or something. It's a bunch of independent things.
Oh wow!
That are all kind of interrelated up there. It's wild looking. I can't quite figure it out. I stared at it for two periods last night. Just trying to figure out what I'm supposed to see.
Wow, amazing.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see it.
Well, they're moving things around on it a little bit because they're trying to figure out to get into the game and they want the audience there and they want to be able to, you know, see certain things.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of different, but I think it's going to have, I'm told by insiders there that what you're seeing now in the preseason, for people who are going to go Saturday night or whatever in the next couple of weeks, it's going to be a totally different experience than what you're seeing there.
They're just the kind of beta testing, huh?
Mm-hmm.
iPhone 3
yep.
version of it. Cool, man.
That is cool.
Anyway, so there's my review. Now that you asked.
That's good. No, I like that.
Kim Gordon's got the news brought to you by Gale Street Inn.